Sound okay in the back? We're good? Do we have a sound cue from the South by Southwest volunteer? Are we good? Not yet. Okay. You've also noticed, I don't know how many of you can see, but you've also noticed we've got candy shaped like Wii controllers here. Pop Rocks. Some lucky person will get the gummy bacon. Bacon flavored lollipops. We're talking about how to rock after South by Southwest and neglect your arteries. Gonna run out of candy. You'll give me a cue in the back? Okay, cool. We're good? All right. Hit it. In a world where sleep is a memory, where nutrition is but a dream, and hydration nearly impossible, and Shinerbach your salvation, how will you explain this to your family, your friends, your colleagues, the people you know back home? How will you enter the rest of your life after South by Southwest? Welcome to How to Rock South by Southwest! Woohoo! Let's give it up! You know why we're here? Up here, guys, it's over here, yeah! Woohoo! Let's hear it for them! Take down the lighting with us. Cut the music. Woohoo! All right. Everybody have a seat.
To the person I almost crashed into, I apologize. Yeah.
All right.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's it. It was just an introduction. We're done.
We're done.
It's over.
Good night.
You've just learned how to rock South by Southwest. Yeah. All right. Am I up on the screen over there? All right. We will put that up a little bit later on. But let me introduce the fine group of people we have here. I have on my notes, big screen, breakthrough paper. Do you like that over there?
Check.
We went to a Christian office supply store to get that. Welcome to How to Rock South by Southwest. Welcome to Geek Spring Break. Y'all had a good time? Did you all rock South by Southwest?
Yeah.
That's right. People. Can't see any of y'all. All right. We are going to talk about some very important issues here. We are going to talk about how you keep this feeling going the rest of your year. Do you want South by Southwest to be but a blip, but a memory, but something you did for 3 days and then go home and people ask you, oh, what happened? You're like, oh, you know, there's some beer, some barbecue. There's a business card stuck to my toothbrush, but I don't know how that happened.
Just in lieu of toothbrush.
So the questions for us then are, how do we make South by Southwest something more than temporary? How do we make it more than that 3-day pause in the middle of your year surrounded by all of the rest of what you normally do? How do we make this the beginning of something rather than simply an interruption in something? That's what we're going to talk about with our esteemed group of panelists here. Can you put me on this mic now? Or you want me to stay with this one? All right, cool. All right. So we are going to talk. Oh. Someone give me a mic. There we go. So we are going to talk first to our esteemed group of panelists. We're going to introduce them all. To my immediate left is David Dylan Thomas from the great city of Philadelphia. David Dylan Thomas is the online editor-in-chief of eGear magazine and a film critic for filmcritic.com, which is distributes its stuff to the Yahoo Movies site. He also is a filmmaker with 3 short films to his credit, and he blogs about movies every week at daviddylanthomas.com. Let's welcome him. All right. To his immediate right is Carla Borsoi. Carla Borsoi is the director of research and analytics for Ask.com. Don't say Jeeves, because we don't. Let's give it up for her. Thank you. And at the far end of the table over there is CeCe Chapman. He is the co-founder of the Advance Guard, which is a social media marketing agency based in the Boston area. He also blogs at cc-chapman.com. Thank you. Sounded very German there for a second.
Yeah.
Like a dog with long ears. And he is also the host of the Managing the Gray podcast, which I'm sure many of you listen to. Let's give it up for Mr. Chapman. I would, in fact, like to start with Mr. Chapman at the far end of the table. This is your very first South by Southwest, correct?
Yes, I'm a total newbie.
Yes, we wanted to have a newbie on the panel, so let me ask you how it's been.
It's been really exciting. It's been just short of crazy. I didn't know what to expect. I got some great advice coming in here. I've met a lot of great people, seen some great talks, taken part in some really interesting memes, ones we didn't even know about. I mean, after the Facebook fiasco, everything kind of changed. It's been a great time. I've met so many people. I've met some great businesses going on. I mean, I wasn't expecting the expo floor to be so, such a good thing. And there's a lot of great companies here representing, a lot of great people here representing different companies and different people. And I've had an absolute blast here. I've rocked South by Southwest.
Good to hear. Yeah, we were worried that I'd be like, so CeCe, how is South by Southwest?
It sucked. No, okay. Yeah, no way.
Can you all see us up here? Okay, can we bring the house lights up about halfway so we can see you guys? Excellent, thank you. Now, Mike, my next question is for Dave and Carla. Carla, you've been here. This is your second South by Southwest, and Dave, this is your sixth.
Correct? Yep,
your sixth. So, take us back to your very first South by Southwest. We don't need to see pictures and bad hairstyles and that kind of stuff, but take us back to your very first South by Southwest. How did you continue on the energy you gained at this conference?
The year was 2003. We were going to be out of Iraq in about 2 weeks.
Not yet. No, just kidding.
I had a great time. I think what really impressed me was the first South by Southwest, I discovered what kind of South by Southwest attendee I'd be. I went to Frey Cafe that year, and out of nowhere, my first time there, I just decided to go up and speak, and I gave a story that later ended up on iTunes. So the sort of impact of that and the fact that I, would ask questions in panels and I didn't feel embarrassed and I felt welcome, I think that made all the difference. And so what I discovered that first year was, here's a place where your weirdness is welcome and even celebrated. So I came back.
Carla?
Yeah, I think the thing for me was also just meeting a lot of people that I'd heard about or read of and going up and introducing myself. And one of the things that I keep laughing about this year is I keep walking up to people and going, oh my God, it's our friendiversary from having met them the year before. That to me was one of those things that translated throughout the year and being able to follow up with people and have conversations that were ongoing throughout the year. And that was one of the things that, as soon as August rolled around, I'm like, okay, how soon can I register to come back again?
Fantastic. This is a question for everybody here on the dais. What is the very first thing, save sleep and getting reacquainted with your family and your friends and your pets and your houseplants, what is the very first thing you're going to do when you go home? For the veterans, what has become your protocol? And CeCe, as the newbie, what are the first things you're going to do when you get home?
Sob uncontrollably. I'm going to miss everybody. I think in terms of what I've tried to train myself to do, because there's certain things it's better to get done as soon as you get back, because the longer you wait, the less likely you'll do them, are things like organizing your business cards, boring stuff like that, and emailing the people that you met you want to keep in touch with. If you have a mailing list, you just invite them to that. If I don't do that pretty much within the first 3 or 4 days, it's not going to happen.
I think for me, I'm a researcher. So what I do is like take lots of data and try to figure out what the story is. I actually go through all the notes that I've taken, go through the pictures that people have taken during the event and try to figure out what the themes were. So as I can walk around, it's what did I learn? Sometimes those things aren't things that people actually say or they do. It's just kind of the things that they don't say or do. So it's part of that is just going through and pouring through all of that information and trying to make heads or tails of it.
What I'm planning on doing is, we all get pocketfuls of business cards, people handing them to you, meeting you and stuff. And I'm going to try to, as soon as I get home, you know, separate those. You know, here's the business, here's the personal stuff, you know, depending which way I'm going to follow up with them, because I'm going to follow up individually with each of them. And the other thing is, one of the things I wasn't ready for when I came here is the fact that when you're here, it is really hard to consume all the content that's being created here. So I'm going to catch up on the Flickr photos that are being uploaded. And I mean, I take a lot of photos and I haven't uploaded any of them yet. And tagging them and letting people know and, you know, seeing what people were blogging about here, because I just haven't had the time to do it now. And I know I can't wait to get home and follow up on that stuff and write to the people who blogged about, you know, this session or another session I was in and share my thoughts with that. And I agree with you that if I don't follow up on the emails as soon as I get, it's one of those, you know, I still have my Ziploc bag from a conference I went to a couple months ago, and I'm like, oh, and I gotta get, so as soon as I get home from this, it's the first thing I'm going to try to do after I remember what my wife and kids look like is dig through those.
I just realized that y'all might not know who I am. Is there anyone here who doesn't know who I am?
Okay, I'm not completely sure.
Yeah. Besides the three panelists. My name is Kevin Smokler. I've been coming to South by Southwest since 2000. This is the fifth time I've spoken here. And I am the co-founder of booktour.com along with Chris Anderson from Wired Magazine. And I'm an author of a 2005 book called Bookmark Now, Writing in Unreaderly Times, which is about reading and technology. And I just wanted to add a quick thing to that, and then we'll get to the next question. After about my fifth South by Southwest, four of which I still have stacks of business cards in a desk drawer that I never answered, to my mind, if you have more than like a two-hour flight home, I log everyone in my address book and I answer and I write a first email to every single person on the flight home. Because it's the only way I'll remember to do it. Because the idea of 3, 4, 5 days later, like Dave said, looking at that big stack of business cards sitting on your coffee table, it's not going to happen. So that's my strategy. Cece, you're the person on the panel who works for yourself.
Yep.
So I'd like to know, what's the first thing you're going to do, you know, and your first real day back at work?
The biggest challenge for me here is me and a co-founder run a company and I'm here. So half the workforce is away. And as much as you try, if you've tried to stay up on email and work while you were here, it's next to impossible. You can try, but I mean, it's treading water in quicksand. It just does not work. And the first thing I've got to do is get back, and I've already got tasks. I mean, I have deliverables due on Friday, and I've got to get back and really focus on those and shift gears kind of almost immediately, which is going to be, I'm worried how I'm going to do that, but I think I'm disciplined enough, and I was going to do the airplane thing with some of my business stuff, emails I haven't replied to, you know, get them queued up so when I get a network connection, I can send them. But as soon as I get home, the business thing, I've got to change the hat, focus on it. I'm not going to take that first morning. I've already determined to do anything South by Southwest is going to be strictly business focused. Get me back on that for, you know, a full morning and just focus on that, dedicate it to it, turn off Twitter, turn off the blogs and the emails, and then do the South by Southwest.
Turn off Twitter.
You know what? I thought you died over there. Look at that. I'm going to dedicate a block of time to focus right on the business, get that done, and then jump back into the South by Southwest pool. I've got to focus that time and be dedicated to it, or it's not going to get done.
And Dave and Carla, same question to you, but you guys work for larger organizations. Dave, you work for a mid-sized publication, and Carla, you work for, you know, the internet equivalent of the U.S. Postal Service. So what are you guys going to do? What's your first day at work going to be like, and how are you going to sort of explain to your colleagues and your team what you've done here the last few days?
Well, first, after I've thoroughly rubbed it in their faces that they weren't here and, you know, paraded past wearing my swag, a lot of it is taking what I just talked about, is taking those themes and talking about that, going and, you know, a lot of the follow-ups that come to me here are things for other people within the organization, is reaching out to the other people within my company and saying, hey, I met so-and-so. I really think you need to talk to them. I think they have a great XYZ. And so pointing to them the different directions, and then also trying to justify some of my existence here by talking about the ways it's going to change my work. So those are the things that I'm going to do probably in the first day or two when I get back to the office.
My job is kind of twofold. I'm here as press and I'm here as the online editor-in-chief of eGear and actually several other publications in my company. And so on the one hand, I'm here to cover the event. So I'll have lots of video to edit when I get back. I'll have stories to write. On the other hand, the ideas that I've heard, the trends that I've seen, basically things that can help us make better websites, are things we're going to implement throughout the year. And it's not the sort of situation where they're looking for my presentation on South by Southwest so much as it is, when the time comes, I'll present this idea, and it'll be an idea I learned here.
Big question to everybody, and I'd like you to answer this from both a personal and a professional point of view. let's say it's a month later, 3 months later, 6 months later, coming up on South by Southwest 2009, what sort of practical steps are you going to take to implement the things you've learned here? What new projects do you want to start? What new work methods and processes do you want to implement? How do you see your life having been altered for having been here the last 4 or 5 days?
Well, for me, I mean, I kind of came here with an agenda. We have certain challenges we're facing at our company right now, and I'm already had in mind people I wanted to talk to here, ideas I wanted to follow up on, panels I wanted to see. And so by the time we reach that point, ideally the people I've met, I'll have developed those relationships and implemented some of those ideas. So frankly, a lot of it is actually going to happen before we get to that point. But in order to get there, I'll need to have done those things.
And personally?
Personally, I think it really is a lot of... This year has been unusual in that I feel like my relationship with South by Southwest has evolved over the years, where I was more passive listener, going to panels, listening to stuff, whereas this year it's a lot more of seeing one thing at one panel, like, for example, the Africa 2.0 panel, which was fantastic. If any of you get a chance to listen to that podcast, it was amazing. But there's a lot of entrepreneurship opportunities there. Later, I went to a panel on hardware mashups, and I saw this connection there with what this guy's talking about. The guys at the Africa 2.0 panel absolutely need to hear, and so I made it my mission to make sure that after South by Southwest, I get these people together. And stuff like that, I think, is relatively new. And personally, it's sort of, for me, that's the growth that I've experienced from each year.
I just want to throw a party. I mean, I think on a personal level, that's actually really what I would like to do. I mean, I think one of the things that I've done a lot in the past several years is take a lot of my friendships that I've made online and make them real. So people that I may not have had the chance to interact with here, but maybe saw speak, I'll probably follow up with them. And then if they live in San Francisco or something like that, I'll probably organize some sort of meetup. Folks who know me well for doing those things. But also, I think on a professional level is, you know, I think it's all going to boil down to the people you met. I mean, you keep hearing this theme arise as it's all four of us speak about the thing that is most valuable about South by Southwest is the people here and the opportunity to really interact with them. So I think those are some of the lessons that I'll be taking back. I mean, I think that all I want to do is continue to cultivate those relationships. And I'll be thinking about panel ideas for next year too, especially when it comes to be the end of the summer.
So on the business side, my business is 5 months old. So I came here trying to figure out, okay, how can I grow my business in the next year? And when I come, you know, whether it's, you know, what can my clients do at South by Southwest, whether it's a party, whether it's an expo floor, whether it's something, you know, being involved in a panel, I wanted to go back and figure, and I've already thought about this. And I mean, I had the interesting thing that I have one of my clients here with me at South by Southwest, and it was our first time at all. So, you know, we're already having these conversations, and I hope in the coming months we can start planning those things and figuring out how best can we leverage it. Because it's true. There's no way I don't think you could have effectively as a company plan on how to come to South by Southwest without having been here before. I've seen that now that I've been here. On a personal level, I'm looking forward to one of the coolest experiences I had this whole time here was going to the Frey Cafe. And I just,
how many of you were at the Frey Cafe?
Hell yeah.
How many of you have no idea what that is?
So the Frey Cafe, I didn't even know what it was. I was told, Cece, you have to go to this. I know you will appreciate it. And it was 4 hours the other night of just me sitting in a lawn chair and a whole bunch of other people sitting in lawn chairs. And it's open mic night. Anybody can get up on a microphone and tell a story. Just anything. I mean, we heard about losing your virginity and being chased by the cops and going up the stairs with a pregnant woman chasing you. And one of my personal goals is next year I want to get up, because I didn't get up and tell a story, and I feel bad about doing that because I did theater for years, so I'm not scared to get in front of people, but one of my personal goals is next year to get up at Frey in front of this room full of strangers and tell a story.
It's funny that I think we all have a similar experience with Frey, and many of the projects that seem institutional now at South by Southwest, which were started by grassroots people.
And I think it's amazing that so many people, and I knew this too when I went, because the majority of people there I didn't know and I hadn't seen at other events. And I'm like, this is going to be, you know, between Frey and a werewolf thing I walked into last night, which I'd never heard of. I'm like, what is this? I mean, just there's all these things happening at South by Southwest that are off the beaten path. They're not on the program.
Yeah.
But everyone seems to know about it, so doesn't know about it. So
there's definitely an idea that, I mean, Frey.com is a website run by one guy, and it started in 1996, and there's been Frey Cafe for the last 5 or 6 years here at South by Southwest. And it gets put on the program along with the Google party and the Gawker party and all of those things. And it's really testament to the way this conference runs that no idea is too crazy. No idea is too out there or not marketable and or underfunded to have a place here.
Right.
Just a quick example here. We had a conference call a few weeks ago talking about this panel, and I said, I want us to have entrance music. I want us to come in like professional wrestlers. And
you also said, I'll never forget, because this is the first time I've ever met these people on the phone, and I've never been to a panel, and Kevin's like, do you think we can get custom boxing robes in time for there? And I'm like, what did I get myself into?
And Dave, as soon as I said that, Dave, without missing a beat, goes, well, really, I want to burst through paper like a sports team. And it went, nobody said, oh, we can't do that, or oh, it's not dignified, or what will be the reverse ROI for our company. Someone just said, it went instantly from Dave saying, let's burst through paper, to Carla saying, okay, well, where can we get some paper?
Yeah, yeah, how are we going to buy it over there?
So the thing that I love, and I'm sure everybody on this panel does too, is no idea is too silly. No idea. In our lives, I think we're accustomed to saying, oh, I don't have time, or oh, it's not practical, or oh, it isn't adult or mature. Those ideas are all welcome here. In fact, they're actually encouraged here.
But I think that's a lot of what would happen around South by Southwest is people kind of don't even understand the whole purpose of coming, you know, especially when I go back to the office, they're like, what was this that you were doing for, we know it's about technology, but what is it? And, you know, to justify it by saying, hey, I had this really amazing experience, not just because of the conferences and the panels and the people, but to be able to come back and say, let's be a little bit unconventional in what we're doing in our daily lives here at work.
And then the ROI for being in that environment is it's easier to get into that mindset later when you have to come up with clever ideas that might not necessarily be conventional. If you've at least spent some time in a place where that's welcome, it's easier to do it in a place where it isn't as welcome.
Yeah, and you look at the companies whose culture we envy and even the people whose products we support, and they all seem to, at least at some level, be an environment where crazy thinking is encouraged, where it's we were talking about it on the way over here. A large company who shall remain nameless has a policy where their tech guys, if the tech guys requisition something, they get it. And it doesn't matter if it's a 500 Nerf footballs or if it's a fleet of vans. It doesn't matter, because the assumption is whatever these people come up with, we trust them that their craziness eventually leads to somewhere productive for us.
Right.
And it does. So with that, I'm standing up now. I'm putting on
cue the pyrotechnics. Get the pyrotechnics ready.
And we're all going to explode in a ball of flame.
The fog machine is not working.
We would like to hear from you. Those of you who have,
there's candy involved. We bribe
you. There is candy involved. Those of you who know me well, I did a similar session to this in 2003.
You're going the wrong way, dude.
No, yeah. where we said, we are going to put a chair up in front of the crowd, and we're going to call it the Chair of Destiny. And we are going to say, what dilemmas do you have in your professional and personal life related to coming to South by Southwest? What problems might you encounter in maintaining your South by High? Who would you like to meet? Where would you like to go from here? We would like, as a room, not just us panelists, we would like as a room to help you to answer those questions. So, because we didn't have a Chair of Destiny, we have a Chair of Bower. You know how we found this? There was a name on our table in the green room. And they were like, who's Bower? And we're like, oh, who the hell's Bower? There's probably some guy with Bower at another conference session. Be like, give me my name back. So we're like, we're going to put people in the Chair of Bower. And they're going to say, this is what's going on. And this is how I'd like y'all's help in solving it. Doesn't mean you're dysfunctional or can't do it for yourself. It just means
we've all got questions. Yeah.
We've all got questions. We've all got places we'd like to be that we aren't at yet. And the idea is that the collective strength in this room is the biggest amount of brain power and creativity anywhere in America this morning. I feel perfectly comfortable saying that. In this entire building, there's more creativity and brain power and drive and passion here than anywhere in the country today. So let's take advantage of that. Let's put someone up here in the Chair of Bower. Let's hear what's going on for you, and let's solve it together as a microcosm of that creativity. Sound good?
Yeah.
That's right. And because we're not cheap asses up here, the special candy is for the people who come up in the Chair of Bower. The special candy includes we-shaped Nintendo Wii-shaped mint tins.
The Unicorn Power Gum.
Unicorn Power Gum. This is my favorite, Sparkle Ninja Chewing Gum. Some lucky person is going to get the gummy bacon.
I like the Mario mushrooms.
The Mario mushrooms. We're perfectly happy to give away the Mario mushrooms. We have a candy called Toxic Sludge. That sounds good, I guess. We got some great stuff up here. So we want to get going. So who is going to be our first bower? My God. Look at that. Yeah. Tell me your name.
My name is Becky McRae.
Let's give it up for Becky McRae. Nice to meet you, Becky McRae. Please. Let's hear it.
Let's hear it. Okay. I live in a very small town. There are more people at this conference than live in my town. Yes. I want to meet you later. There's like one guy in the room going, that's me. Yes. I run a business in a town of 5,000 people, and there's, 7,000 people at this conference? And I live in a town with, I kid you not, fewer than 50 people in my town. My challenge is, I feel like the only geek in the world until I get here. This is my first South By. I connect a lot with folks on Twitter and online. I do have a blog called smallbizsurvival.com. Okay. All you small town, small business people, the one guy. Write that
down. You can plug if you're sitting in the chair of Bauer. That's cool.
I'm glad to hear it because I did. Cece's one of my Twitter friends and,
She had the best swag, too. She was giving out bottles of alcohol.
I did. Yeah.
Wait, you should tell what your business is now.
My business that I run in the small town is I run a liquor store. I'm the only liquor store owner in the room, I'm sure. You'll see me on...
The value of our candy has just gone to zero, you understand?
I am out of liquor swag until I run to the car and replenish. I have to go back. I live in Alva, Oklahoma. A-L-V-A, Oklahoma. I'm sure... What? You've been there? So I'm looking for great ideas of additional ways to continue to feel connected. And, you know, I feel really connected. Like I saw Cece for the first time here and I'm like, hi, we had a big hug and that's terrific. But there's not the same amount of inspiration and idea generation when you're the only one in the town. And I envy you people around Boston and around the other areas where there's a large group of you that can get together physically and interact. And my one small town guy is over here going, exactly, this is exactly. So there's two of us in this room that want some suggestions besides get together physically. How can we generate some more of this excitement?
Let's talk practically for just a second. How are we going to have the audience make suggestions? Are we going to have people gather
around the mic? Yeah.
Yeah. If you got something for Becky over here, gather around the mic in the center of the room. Panelists, do we have anything from you?
Well, I think I want to put a plug in for the wiki that we've got for this. I don't know if you've got that up there, Kevin.
Yeah, let me.
But we have a wiki, and what we want to do is continue the conversation so that people can continue to interact with one another after this if they have questions about.
Is the wiki up there
like
on the screen?
Becky's got, yeah. So we can continue to talk about those things and people can be able to provide advice. The password to that is Pop Rocks.
R-A-W-K-S.
Everybody got that? The password to the wiki is Pop Rocks. R-A-W-K-S.
I don't live in a small town living in San Francisco, but one of the things I am curious about is are there a lot of communities out there for people who live in small towns online that you can tap into?
Good question.
And if not, would you start one?
Can we hear from our other small town friend in the audience there as to what they've done and what tactics they've used? Just yell if you have to. Yes, please.
One of the things I have. Y'all come by. We'll have samples. Alva, Oklahoma. Okay.
Where is Alva, Oklahoma?
Actually, way north of here, almost in Kansas. It's about an 8-hour drive. We can all go together.
Okay.
Right now.
Other thoughts? There seem to be people at the mic. Other thoughts from the audience?
I moved to. Well, I actually live in Milwaukee now, but I moved there from Tennessee, where a lot of people don't know how to use computers. So I totally understand your pain. Yeah. So a lot of what I did was meeting communities online. But when we moved to Milwaukee, we actually have a tech group. But we have people who can't make it out because they're in small towns 2 hours away. So we actually Skype them into our meetings. And we do that video. We do audio. We do IRC. We try and involve them as much as possible because it's very hard, especially when you're having during the week meetings, to get these people involved. And it's a way for us to get to know them and to connect to them. And so that would be my suggestion. Find user groups for things that you're interested in and see if they would offer that kind of thing for you.
Thank you. Terrific idea.
Any other suggestions from the audience?
I'm here.
Yeah. I'm going to throw something out here. I've got friends in different places, and what I've done before is you have lunch with those friends, but you're not there. So what you do is you both bring your bag lunch, and you get down in front of Skype. Looks like, I'm sorry, I'm about to steal this man's thunder. It looks like that's what he was going to suggest, but you have lunch, and I'm just very regular about it. You know, once a week, once every 2 weeks, always on Wednesday or whatever, and you have lunch. And you talk about what you're doing and where you're going. And it also holds you accountable in a way that, you know, maybe coming to a conference once a year doesn't.
I love that one. That's a great idea.
Sir, did you have something?
Yeah, so lunch over the phone is something I've done a couple times recently. So, yeah, life is this. So the obvious one is you can get on airplanes and come to places like this. The other obvious one is you can, you know, if you don't feel at balance with the Psoriasis community you're in, you can move to a different one. So each of us, you know, you find some balance between the place where you usually lived, because, you know, if you live, you could move to San Francisco and then there would be geeks. You couldn't throw a rock without hitting one, but you'd have to pay $1 zillion to park.
Yeah.
Okay. And life, you know, so Kansas City is what I call home, and it's, I found the right balance is I live in Kansas City. I work for MIT. My badge actually says Cambridge, Massachusetts on it. And once a month I get on an airplane and I do something like this because it rocks.
All right.
And
yeah.
And I would also suggest this is a total Hail Mary pass, but invite people as you meet them, that find a day in the year, invite them to come to ALVA. And the reason the one shot I think this will work, you can offer them free liquor.
Yeah. Yes.
You'd be surprised how much of a motivator that can be.
Yeah, PopTech, the very expensive geek, very famous person geek equivalent of this, is in Camden, Maine.
Yeah, middle of nowhere.
Yeah. And then they've just created a happening in Camden, Maine.
You could turn ALVA into the social networking scene of the next century.
We can do it.
All right.
Let's give it up for Becky.
Grab some candy. Yeah.
Let's candy for you. You got a wee candy?
Yeah. I did.
All right.
I candy.
Fantastic. Thank you. Who's next?
Come up, somebody.
Person waving their hands. I can't see anyone with the lights on. Yeah. Person waving their hands. Oh, I know you. Hi, Chrissy Duncan. Let's give it up for Chrissy Duncan, one of my favorite people, whom I met right here at South by Southwest.
Proof of networking.
You're waiting for cabs in front of the Omni Hotel maybe 3 years ago. And what are you doing? She's waiting for a cab. I'm waiting for a cab.
I wanted the gummy bacon.
Okay.
Right. All right. Thank you. So first of all, shameless plug. I'm actually really good at plugging my friend stuff. So namastemofo.com for irreverently reverent t-shirts and yoga sayings. So my challenge, this is my third year at Interactive. I've been coming to the music conference since 93. So I can definitely give you tips on that one. But my challenge is that my day job is with MSN, with Microsoft, in Mountain View, California. So I've been there about 4 years, and I do lots of irreverent, creative, guerrilla things outside of work. But how to bring that and shake it up in a huge organization when you're also not at the mothership?
The guy walking to the mic right now, you should listen to.
The handsome blue-haired gentleman.
There's this book, Clue Train Manifesto, that if you have not read it, will change your life. But really, there will, as long as you do it as constructively as you can say whatever you want. You can be as weird and as out there. And 2004 was my first South By, and that changed my life. And I think it changed the company that I work for, because my goal, I went to, Kevin did this same panel in 2004, and it's the only time at a conference that I've ever cried.
Sorry.
No, it was good. It wasn't like, you know, Steel Magnolias crying. It was, you know, like Space Shuttle taking off crying. But that's it. You just, you have no, lose all fear that you'll get a bad reaction. Cause if you do, it's their fault, not yours. You know, and it's hard, but it took me a good year to get over the fear and just go, you know what? I've got stuff to share. If they don't want to hear it, that's their problem, not mine.
Rock on. It's all about asking forgiveness rather than permission for me. I think I just kind of.
Should hit twice.
Valuable information being exchanged here.
Yeah. No, as I was just saying, I think that for me, I just do, and I don't ask for permission. I just kind of create programs and go ahead and implement them and just kind of send meeting invites surreptitiously. And all of a sudden people are like, oh, I didn't know we were doing this. And I just do it anyway.
Rock on.
Jason.
Hi, Kevin. Jason from Disney.com. And that's one of our challenges at Disney, too. We have, you know, over 700 people working on the internet group, and there's maybe 10 or 12 of us here, which is up from maybe 6 of us last year, who don't see the – people don't see the value because they're too busy doing work. But our game – our virtual worlds team this past year just started doing things that they call little things that were really big things. Like, oh, we just want an office to play – Nintendo Wii, and then all of a sudden we had these huge office Rock Band parties, and so some of the things that I'm taking from here are like doing little mini South by Southwest things with our teams, like having lunch 2.0 meetings and core conversations, and or just going to a movie together, or going out and doing things in the community, having internal bar camps and geek dinners and stuff like that to talk about things. And if you're not getting the support at your company, you probably need a better VP. So be subversive that way and get him moved to other places. So.
I think he can be moved to subversiveness. It would be a good thing.
I'm at Tellme. So you guys, I'm at Tellme.
Say hi to Dan Lennon when you get back.
Yeah, we just got purchased by Microsoft in May of last year, and I would say come to our campus. I got the
invite for the St. Pat's party.
Yeah,
on Monday,
I was gonna say come to our St. Pat's party. A lot of people at Microsoft are coming to visit and looking at us and saying, "Wow, how do you get this great?" Environment here and want to try and get that at Microsoft. It's hard because we're an 80,000 person company, but that change is we're trying to make it happen and we're trying to spread it through the organization.
Cool.
I
was saying a couple things I might add to that. One is look for the champions in your organization. I was working for a university who was very, I won't even say closed-minded necessarily, just not very aware. There was one other person in the room at a meeting who would know what tagging was. But that was the thing. I could find those people, and especially those people who were a little higher up than I was, and sort of just keep egging them on to get things done. And the other thing is, once you have one success with a crazy idea, it gets a lot easier to pull off the other one. So really, it's getting that first off-kilter thing to work. Then you have credibility, and you can start suggesting crazier things.
Yeah. Also, anyone who comes up here or asks a question, please keep eye contact with the person so y'all can meet and exchange cards afterwards. I think that's real important. We good?
We're good.
All right. All right. Thanks. Give it up for Craig.
Let's get it.
We got time for a couple more. Who else wants to be Bauer?
Dude in the back.
Dude in the back. Dude in the back.
The hat. The
red jacket. Right.
Written all over. Who needs candy?
Yeah, let's toss some candy out here.
It's a little hard to toss the pixie sticks.
Pixie sticks incoming.
Pixie sticks. Oops, sorry. Tiffany Brown, you get some? All right, cool.
All right.
I threw some toxic waste.
CeCe took a look at this table and was like, we're going to have to eat all this crap when, you know.
Oh, right here, man. Special request for a bacon lollipop.
This is David Overbeck, right?
Yes.
David Overbeck, have a seat. Let's give it up for David Overbeck. All right. Tell us, David, what can we do for you?
Well, my name is David. I'm a video producer from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I really didn't have a good idea as to what I was getting into when I came here. Now that I've experienced this, how the heck do I describe to my coworkers what happened? I mean, there's so much good stuff happening here. I've learned so much, but how do I...
CeCe and I will defer to the people with coworkers.
So how do you get back in...
How do I get back? And my coworkers are going to say, well, where were you? Well, I was at South by Southwest. Well, what's that? What is that?
I would show them.
Okay.
I mean, there's enough, and I would be selective. But But enough of this, especially now that everything is videotaped, everything is podcast, enough of it is around where you could sort of selectively say, okay, follow these links or look at these things, look at these Flickr streams. This is South by Southwest. It's not going to give them, obviously, the experience of meeting the people, which is really what South by Southwest is, but it gives them the flavor of it, I think. Okay.
Yeah, and I would also point them to find the blog posts, because there are going to be people who are going to write this up, and not the journalists. It's going to be the people. I mean, like, I can't wait to write a blog post when I get home, trying to wrap it up and trying to sum it up. And other people are going to be doing that as well. So find those blog posts out there, especially if they contain links to videos and pictures or whatnot, and say, here's read some of these. Here's three or five things that I think, you know, you need to read, and it'll help you understand it. And it's true, they're not going to totally get it. I mean, that's impossible. But it's at least a stepping stone, and hopefully if you've picked the good ones, they'll read them and they'll come to you with questions and, oh, I heard about this or what was that, and hopefully it's something that you saw or know about, and you can say, and then you can explain it. It's a conversation starter. It gets right. It going for, so it's, they realize it's not just another geek conference, or it's not just a bunch of boozing and stuff. It's so much more.
And it helps to give it context, because yeah, if you do just show them a bunch of photos of people drinking,
yeah,
they're not going to distinguish it from Friday night. But what I found helps is if I come back with, you know, blow your mind lines, like, you know, talking to somebody about, you know, the wisdom of crowds back when that was new, is concept, yeah. I learned, you know, here, or, you know, I learned about vlogging here before it was even in Wired magazine, you know, that one little like concept, you know, mind blower. And that can be very powerful, because when it came time for me to ask for permission, you know, money, funding and all that, my new company to go to South by Southwest the first time, I thought it was going to be this big uphill battle. But the fact of the matter is I had already sort of dropped a few of these bombs, even in my like job interview, of how cool this place was and all the cool ideas I'd gotten from there. By the time I got around to it, even though I'd written up all this complicated proposal, I basically just walked in and said, okay, so South by Southwest, is this really cool? Yeah, that's fine. Cool. Okay.
Very cool. Gentleman at the microphone.
Hi, Dan Connolly.
Hi, Dan.
Hi. So what are the storytelling rituals at your place of business? I mean, this is the testament to the power of telling stories. So what do people do to tell stories to each other?
They don't. You know, everyone's kind of... Yeah, I mean, you know, we're all in our...
Okay, fix that one.
You know. It's not shame to be the Bowers over here.
Yeah. It's...
No, well, first of all, I find that hard to believe. Really? Nobody? There's well, no water they, cooler? They tell, there's no they, lunch? There's no...
They do, but it's people keep to themselves a lot. And it's wow. It's kind of a... Yeah. They have their... Mostly they talk about their families and they talk about this and that. They don't... You know, if they go on vacation, you don't really... You know, it's not one of those things. And this was kind of a vacation for me. So it's not like my company was sponsoring it and they're expecting me to come back with all this knowledge.
So what does the company do?
Video production. Corporate videos, documentaries, those kinds of things.
Wow, and the people don't tell stories to each other at work. That's really interesting. Okay. I hope you get a chance to have lunch with somebody and tell them a story, because I think that, you know, people do have lunch together at least. And
well, yeah.
I was going to say, did you shoot video while you were here?
I didn't. I shot pictures.
Tell a story,
I mean, I'm guessing...
Do a slideshow at lunch someday. Organize a lunch and... Do it, you know, make it a fun slideshow.
Right, but there's a lot of interesting, you know, pictures. But if I'm just showing a picture of a panel, you know, like,
yeah, true.
You know, it's, I mean, I could show a picture of, I think someone just took a picture of me now. You know, here I am up here. That's interesting. That's a conversation starter. But
right. You
know, who are these people? I didn't know most of them when I came here. Right. Now I know, you know, who these people are. So,
yeah, I mean, it will require you bringing them to life.
Right.
You know, and saying this is what I learned and this is why it's important for us. And, you know, keep coming back to why it's important for the company itself. But if you're good at what you do, and I'm guessing you are, they're going to trust you and your judgment with that.
Sure.
And another thing that helps with that is you're going to introduce them to cool concept you learn, but also cool people you met.
Sure.
And here's a guy who does this. And if it's this mind-blowingly cool thing that they do, they're going to remember that. They might not remember their name, but if in that photo you can say, oh, that's a guy I met who imports clothes from Africa and sells them in Wisconsin.
Really?
I didn't know people were doing that. That kind of stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
She's suggesting having a party afterward. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a few groups that we have in Milwaukee, tech groups, that we're going to actually be presenting at. You know, the group of us who came here from Milwaukee are going to come and say, here are the wrap-up. We're going to do like a 5-word wrap-up of every session we were in and stuff. So sharing it with our tech friends is going to be great.
Absolutely.
But
But I think going back to like what Dave was saying about the little nuggets that you can bring back, starting with the stuff that's most directly related to what you do every day, maybe the easiest entrees to the people that you work with to get them drawn into the story. And then you start talking about those things that relate and it can snowball into something else.
Start at the microphone.
I was just going to say, I live in Austin, and this is my eighth year to attend South by Southwest. But most of my close friends don't really participate in it in any way, so that, you know, they don't really know exactly what it's about. Even though they live in Austin, it's this thing that overwhelms the whole city for a week. So what I did to try to get my friends involved, even though they're not necessarily officially involved, I wrote up a guide for South by Southwest and just kind of listed, okay, you know, here's my tips and tricks. Here's kind of things that I do. These are the resources that I go to online. And then I also, like on my Facebook page or MySpace or whatever, I put a little thing that says, in your status message, I say, if you want to follow my progress, follow like my Twitter feed or also on sked.org. That's the scheduling program that they have online. You know, follow exactly what I'm doing. And so I have, you know, listed out what I've done each day on the schedule, you know, with the descriptions. And then as I'm going through different cool things, I text a little thing to Twitter. And, you know, if I meet a celebrity or something like that, I put that up there. And, you know, people, as they come along, they're like, oh, wow, this is cool. I didn't know kind of like the little tiny details that you may forget as you go along. Just, you know, that's the great thing about something like Twitter is that you can just get up there and just, you know, write a little note, and it's really easy, and people can go and check it, even if they don't know anything about it. And so the same thing is like, you know, if you say, oh, I'm going to be going here, I'm just going to be updating this thing, come check it if you want. You know, you're not forcing it down people's throat, but you're also, you know, giving them an opportunity to kind of have a window into what you're doing.
That's a great idea, especially them being able to kind of follow you.
Exactly.
It's kind of like they're kind of going with you in a way. That's
yeah, exactly. Great. And so with my friends, it's like if they're looking for something to do tonight and it's like, oh, where's Logan? It's like, okay, well, he's, you know, oh, let's look on his Twitter page. Oh, he's at the Chronicle party last night or something like that. And so that's it's worked out really well. This kind of the first year I've started doing that. And but all my, like my girlfriend and all my other friends have been following along too. And it's been a lot of fun.
One more comment from the microphone, then we'll get someone else up here.
Excuse me. Bruce Floyd from the University of Florida. Any educator types out there? I missed the meetup, so look me up, please.
Guy doing seal claps in the back, yeah.
That's not a seal.
There you go.
That's not a seal.
Wow. That's not a seal.
Excellent. There you go.
Yeah.
This is my first time at South By, and I think, you know, I heard what you said about how you have a kind of coworkers that, you know, they talk about their family if they talk at all.
Yeah.
And I guess my approach to that would be to say, not maybe necessarily go into the technical aspects of what you learned, you know, like I learned how to, you know, some editing techniques, but I might start by saying, you know, for me, I went to different panels and it's actually, and meeting people and all the things that I experienced, it actually energized me, you know, reignited my passion. These are the types of things I think that would appeal to your coworkers, because these are the, you know, these are the people that are maybe in the jobs and they're kind of going through the motions and really could probably use this kind of experience to get them to where you are. So start there and then, oh, that's your entry point. Like, it's not just a conference. It's not just a learning opportunity like in an academic sense. It's more like this whole experience that kind of gets you fired up and you almost want to get back to work and do some of the things that you learned and contact people and do all these things. And I think that if you start with the emotion of it and then you kind of talk about the technical aspects, they'll really kind of see more of a value because you're dealing with creative types anyway, but it just seems like they've kind of shelled up a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's what I would do.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks, David. Ninjas or Wees or I think it's volunteers. We got time for what? One more? But we have 5 minutes? All right, we got time for one more. Who's coming in?
Wait, we got somebody walking up.
Oh, Jesus, we got a lot of them here. Should we try and get one person in, or should we, like, lightning through everybody? All right, yeah, over here.
The unicorn.
Tell us your name. Hey, Jackie.
Hey.
Let's give it up for Jackie.
Jackie Huba, I blog at Church of the Customer and launched a new. Whoa!
I won't do that again.
Whoa!
I won't throw it at the lights.
Is it melting the candy?
Oh, you're Jackie from Church of the Customer?
Jackie from Church of the Customer.
Awesome. I love that.
It's a fanboy moment.
So we launched a new community on Friday called theswam.org, which is the Society for Word of Mouth. Love for you to come. And here's my dilemma. So I've been to lots of business conferences over the past couple of years, speak a lot of them, and they are just boring as hell, right? So the Society for Word of Mouth is going to do a conference in October. And what I want to know from you guys is, what did you see at this conference that was so fun and so engaging that if you could insert it into a boring business conference would make it more fun? Wait, I've got clearly throwing candy into the crowd and theme music. So I want to know what else. And Matt Collier is going to take down your ideas for me. Interactive panels. Include the audience.
Right.
Okay.
If you're near the mic, say it into the mic so everybody can hear you. But what this gentleman over here said was interactive panels. Make sure the audience is an interactive and vital part of every panel session. Awesome. That they're being talked with and not talked to.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of what makes the panels at South by Southwest so good, the ones that have been good, and this was reiterated actually at 20 by 2 last night, is that the people talking are very passionate about what they're talking about, but also just good presentation technique. And that's not necessarily something you can guarantee at any conference, but I see a lot of that here. But it does seem to be very directly tied to how passionate the people are what they're talking about. Again, don't know if you can necessarily import that, but that is, I think, one of the things that makes these panels good.
I think you need the other thing too is you need a screen. I haven't figured out how to do it for the panelists where they can see the live Twitter stream and see what the audience is thinking about. And I mean that in a very nice way because, I mean, just to see, you know, if we could see right now, God, these people up here suck right now. You know, they're idiots. But I mean, there's been certain panels where they needed to hear that. And to some, and I don't know.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Not that we're going to mention anything, but yeah.
But you know what I mean? I think for panel, if there was a way that the panelists could see that real-time feedback, because the audience is interacting with each other right now and people are, but there's, the panelist doesn't have any way of knowing that, and I'm not sure if it's a screen or how it works, but to somehow have the panelists be able to see that real time, you know, what's happening, whether it's good or bad or indifferent.
Okay.
That's cool.
Twitter ID in the panel.
Okay.
We got a long line at the microphone. Let's go through them. Go.
I just wanted to say that the first How to Rock South By panel finished off a fifth of some kind of booze.
Yeah.
And that really set the mood for me. And I was like, all right, okay. I can hang out here. That's for sure.
Awesome. Thanks.
Drugging the audience, definitely.
Hey, what's happening? I was going to say, if you have name brand people in your audience when you're in your panel at the conference, don't let them hijack what's going down. You need to... I'm not saying silence them, but damn, turn them down a little bit. Just mute them just a little bit so that they don't hijack what's going on so that other people can get down with what's happening.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well put.
I would say try to find some inspiration from some not business conferences. If you want to make a business conference that's not like other business conferences, go to like Fashion Week or even like Burning Man, which I think that South by Southwest is more like Burning Man than a lot of other business conferences I've been to. And part of that is by not trying to control it and allowing what, like Kevin said earlier about, like, oh, you've got an idea? Well, that's part of our festival.
Okay, cool. That's
I want to interject on top of that, too. I think the other thing is to bring in people that aren't necessarily business people to speak, because I think that makes it a lot more interesting.
Yes. Yes.
Thanks.
A lot of people come to conferences by themselves. I mean, a lot of people here come in a big group, but some people come by themselves. And I think if you go to most conferences, there's really not the approachability level that there is here. And if you come by yourself, you're like, those people, I can't talk to them. So I think especially high level, if you have famous people, making sure that they're on board with talking to strangers and making it an obvious that you can go up to literally anyone at this conference and just say like, hey, this is what I do. What do? You know, like summer camp, you know?
Thanks.
So my suggestion would be to not focus so much on what's traditionally the conference and think more around building an event around it. Really the after hours stuff here, it's well organized, the way it goes down, everything around it that's ancillary to this conference is what really makes it rock. The panelists are great and they know how to run panels. Let them take care of that.
And building off of that, this is actually exactly what I was going to say. And this is a long game kind of plan, but if it works, eventually it'll pay off dividends. When I come up with my schedule for South by Southwest, I write down when Frey is, when 20 by 2 is, when Break Bread with Brad is, certain non-off the schedule events, and then I schedule around that because I know those are the coolest things at South by Southwest. If you can build up around your conference, and it takes time because the first time, like three people are going to show up. Then the next year, maybe six. But then at some point, if it's a cool thing, and it doesn't have to be just a party where we get together and drink, something weird. If you can build that up by the third year, the fourth year, those become the reasons people, oh, I can't miss, you know, break cookies with the guy from HR. I can't miss that.
Right. So the kind of rituals that.
Exactly. Yeah, ritual. Ritual is powerful, but it's hard to build.
Right. Okay. Great.
Sir.
Yeah. I agree with everything, but I think you need to involve early and involve often. I think something Southwest did Absolutely. That was great was the badges. I mean, upload your badge photo before, and that got your contact information in. You could say, hey, who else is from my area? They said, hey, what panels do you want to attend? I think they did a great job on getting the right room sizes. Some were a little too small, but they knew where people were coming from, and they did enough time. So if they said, ooh, five panelists, three attendees, let's kill that panel. You know, I think having the right density in the room is very
Absolutely.
Important.
Okay. But right. also, yeah, and along with that, too, is the fact that people can vote on the panels during the summer. I think it generates a lot of excitement. Like, oh, my God, I have to go to this panel. I'm going to vote on it, and I'm going to tell all my friends to vote on it, too. It just gets people really riled up.
Okay. And on that, when you're organizing, I don't know if anybody else had this experience, but I certainly haven't. People I've talked to, is it seems like the really good panels are the ones that people really want. They always seem to be scheduled at the same time. Yeah. I don't know. Okay, so it's not just me. There's been like blocks where I'm like, there's nothing really there, but this next block, there's four of them I want to go to. And if you can do something like that where people are expressing their interest ahead of time, and I know it's not going to ever be perfect, but kind of if you're going to have multiple tracks to kind of scatter them so the ones that people seem to be wanting to really go to are spread out and not always conflicting is a good way.
Okay, yeah. Great.
Jason?
Just encourage the fun and encourage the interaction outside of the panels and outside of, like, the best conversations I have here are in the halls and after midnight, and that are work-related conversations. So just think about the ways that you can engage that way. Me personally, I was encouraged telling people to make out. That works really well for me. And then also, the best panel I saw this year was the What Teens Want panel, and that brought users in of the products or the business that we're working in to tell us what they really think about what we do. And if you're getting those people there, the aha moments happen all the time and people are excited to get that.
So. Okay. Great.
Sir.
Hey, Dave Delaney. From my experience of organizing some unconferences
and actually Nashville.
Yes, that's one of them. Thank you. smaller, even to some degree, smaller speaker rooms and bigger hallways.
Yeah.
Lots of hallways.
Okay.
And my point to that, and he sort of just stepped on that or touched on that, is the idea of like, not stepped. totally wrong. But the whole idea my voice is totally gone. The whole idea is to, you know, most of the discussion and the networking and the stuff that goes on, the most valuable stuff is often right out those doors. So keep that in mind. I mean, that's where the relationships build. That's where all the gossip happens. That's where people are talking about, you know, Facebook train wreck interviews, whatever. It's all happening out the door. So make sure the hallways are big. And really quickly, last thing. Sorry to shameless plug. I work with Emma and we're the green lanyard thing. Yeah. Look at your lanyard. There's a website. We're trying to plant 1,000 trees and I'm amazed we haven't reached that goal yet. And all you have to do is go on the website, click vote. And we get a vote for a tree. And today's the last day. So we're at about 800 now. So plant a tree already.
Awesome.
So thanks for that.
Thanks, Dave.
Yes. Ma'am, we gotta wrap it up here, folks. So let's make it quick. Ma'am.
Okay. I'll try to be fast. I'm from Europe and I'm very used to go to conferences where everybody seems to be trying to sell something.
Absolutely.
So, and what is amazing here and in some other conference in Europe, like Reboot in Denmark, is that anybody could be a panelist also. Like everybody here, panelists and public are here to know, to learn and to share.
Absolutely.
And I think as long as you keep that spirit, it's good for everybody.
Yeah.
One more thing is that I would try also, I mean, I'm really liking South by Southwest, but I think it's somehow too big, too many people. Like if you can, I mean, it's impossible to know everybody. It's impossible to, you know, like there's too many things happening at the same time and you're missing something. So if you could keep it a bit smaller.
More intimate.
Yeah, at the beginning,
I think
definitely.
That's better. And,
okay.
Sorry, just one more thing. Fruit. In the hallways.
Fruit,
yes,
in, the
fruit
hallways.
In the hallways. Fruit in the hallways, exactly. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sir, this has got to be real quick. They're getting us out of here. Go.
I'll see
Julian,
what I can do.
What do you got?
Real simple. I just, as somebody who's been in the field for a long time, mm-hmm. for some reason, on the actual paper schedule, it says if a panel is beginner, intermediate, or advanced.
Yeah.
It doesn't say it anywhere else. So if I don't have a big booklet, I show up in a bunch of really nicely titled beginner panels where I'm like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
What are these people talking about? So a nice level of just being able to kind of like divide which what people want.
Openness and clarity and information.
Yeah.
Okay. These are great. Let's give it up for Jackie.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Poprocks is the password for the wiki. We thank you for coming. Thank you to the panelists. How to Rock South by Southwest. Hit the music, please. Come up here, trade business cards, and if you come up to the front, we're going to do a group hug. Everybody come up to the front. We're going to do a group hug. There you go. Group hug right up here at the front. Thank you. Come on. Yeah, we're all from California. It's a big group hug. Come on. Don't be shy. There we go. We can rock intimately as well. How to rock, how to intimately, how to be homoerotic. How to rock at South by Southwest. Thank you, everybody. Get some candy, get some business cards, meet people. Keep it going. Always was still.